The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Now, because it is Reformation Sunday, I would like to tell you a Lutheran story. In 1925, Pastor Norman Gehring was brought to this area to serve Lutheran students in Boston and Cambridge. A few years later, in 1928, the University Lutheran Association of Greater Boston was organized, and at first they rented space for worship in Brattle Hall, what we now know as the Brattle Theater. In 1935, the community moved to this site, 66 Winthrop Street, worshiping in a parish house and a temporary chapel. And it wasn't until 1951 that UniLu got its own building. A year later, in 1952, the architect of this building, Arland Durlam, received the Harleston Parker Medal, which recognized this building as the single most beautiful building or other structure built in the metropolitan Boston area in the past 10 years. Now, I know Reformation Sunday is not supposed to be Lutheran Pride Day, but we could be a little proud about that. Amen? Amen. Okay. Now, I want to warn you, friends. This sermon is peppered with lots of opportunities to say amen, and I expect you to stay awake for all of them. Amen? Now, this building we sit in today is not like the others in Harvard Square. It is not the first church or the first parish. It has no Tiffany windows. It is not a quaint chapel in the style of the old country. It also does not particularly stand out among the other red brick buildings in the university area, so much so that when I try to describe where we are at, I have to say, "Well, we're just next door to Pinocchio's." And then people say, "Oh, yes, I know exactly where you are." Amen? Amen. Amen. Nevertheless, our UniLu predecessors chose to build this particular building in this particular style. They chose not wood. They chose no stained glass, no old stone. They chose brick, solid brick. They chose to build a mighty fortress. And I've often wondered about that. Why was it this building that they chose to build? For sure, after renting space and wandering as a community around Harvard Square, they probably simply wanted something that was their own and were grateful to have that. But also, it was the aftermath of the Second World War. When many churches in Europe had been destroyed and many lives were lost and people were trying to just rebuild their lives and homes and futures. And so I wonder if those early Uniluvians, if you like it, if those early Uniluvians just wanted something solid, something impenetrable, something that said God is in the midst of the city and it shall not be shaken. Amen? You're still awake. Good. And now here we are today. The nations are raging. The kingdoms are shaking. And here we are, protected by four sturdy walls, connected by the miracle of the internet, surrounded by beautiful artwork, uplifted by music, by prayer, by the word, by each other, And God is still in the midst of the city. God is still in Harvard Square. On October 31st, or the Sunday closest to it, Lutheran Christians and others across the globe gather to remember our ancestors in the faith. We remember the ones who 500 years ago challenged corrupt religious systems and made scripture available in the languages that people actually spoke and inspired a movement that continues today, the ongoing reformation of the church, of the people who follow Jesus. Ecclesia sempre reformanda est, the church is always reforming, the church always is to be reformed. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Told you there would be a lot of amens. On this day also, Lutherans from Cambridge to Jerusalem to Cairo to Bemidji will sing Martin Luther's musical interpretation of Psalm 46, "A mighty fortress is our God." This morning, my wife said to me, "Are you going to sing that song?" And I said, "You haven't been Lutheran that long, have you?" "Yes, we're singing that song today. It's a pretty good hymn." However, I do want to tell you that the image of God as a fortress has not always been helpful to me. When I was a pastor in Jerusalem, I preached a sermon in which I stated that God could no longer be a fortress because God could no longer be a wall for me. Because in that context, walls separated people. In that context, such walls were erected for security, but in reality, to this day, they keep Palestinian and Israeli people from interacting with one another. And those concrete walls, which by the way are twice as high as the wall was separating Berlin, they were erected to keep one side safe and another side contained. And in the end, all they did was intensify enmity and fear. And here we are today. Amen. Here we are. War raging, walls falling on entire families, and walls of fear being erected in a whole new generation of hearts. Have mercy on us, O God. It's also true that this week when I watched the newest American Horror Story unfolding in May, I was praying, "Jesus, be a wall. Jesus, be a fortress. Jesus, be a bulletproof vest." Because clearly we cannot go bowling or eat at a restaurant or attend a prayer meeting or go to a concert or get groceries or attend kindergarten without being at risk of being shot. Jesus, be a wall. A mighty fortress, be our God. A bulwark, never failing. So is God a wall or not a wall? Is God a mighty fortress, or does God fling wide the doors so that all may enter? Is Jesus our teacher or our brother? Is Jesus our savior or our friend? I'm not really in the habit of giving answers in sermons, but in this case I will confidently, and I will say yes. Yes. God is a wall, and God is a door, and God is a mighty fortress, and God is the solid ground we stand upon, and Jesus is our healer, our comforter, our mother. Jesus, the triune God, beyond our understanding, is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Dear ones, the building we sit in right now has opened its doors and has been a safe haven for so many people. I think that our ancestors, including Luther, would be so pleased at the countless students who have sat in these pews. Some of them have become scientists, some artists, some educators, some lawmakers, some policymakers, some pastors, and some bishops, bless their hearts. And then in the 1980s, this congregation, led by Pastor Fred Reese, opened up the space on the lower level of this building to be a shelter for what was at that time a growing number of people experiencing homelessness in Cambridge. Now, as I heard the story, Pastor Fred thought this would be a temporary thing, a temporary solution for hopefully a temporary problem. And of course, we know all these years later that it is an ongoing and ever-growing need in our community. Under Pastor Reese's guidance, the doors of UniLu were flung wide open, and then these solid brick walls became a fortress of safety that so many needed and so many still need today. On Wednesday of this week, I was lucky enough to watch the first stage of the renovations that are happening downstairs in the shelter. At least a dozen construction workers took over the whole basement area, starting from early in the morning. And guess what they did? Guess what they built? Walls. Walls! They erected privacy walls, which will allow our guests to sleep better, to have some time to themselves, to have some individuality, which is nearly impossible if you are living without a home. You're going to have the opportunity to see those walls and that space after church today. And once again, when I watched that progress, I was reminded that, yeah, you know what? God can be a wall. God's love is a wall and a hot meal and a song and an embrace. God's love is hearing for the first time or for the millionth time that you, yes, you, are saved by grace through faith apart from works. You, yes, you don't have to do anything to be loved by God. You, yes, you will continue to mess up and to fall short and to sin against God and your neighbor, but also because Christ is crucified and risen, you, yes, you stand on the solid ground of God's love for you and for the whole world. With Martin Luther on this Reformation Day, I want you to say it with me together. Here I stand, and I can do no other. Here I stand, I can do no other. Here we stand on the solid ground of God's love. I give thanks to God that these walls are still standing in Harvard Square. And I give thanks for the saints who came before us, the first disciples, the church mothers and fathers who passed on such wisdom, the reformers both 500 years ago and those who are reforming the church today, those who continue to challenge us. For the Uniluvians, I am going to continue to say that, by the way, Uniluvians. The Uniluvians, the ancestors of this place, for their witness that reminds us that no matter what comes, no matter what, we stand on solid ground, the solid ground of God's love, and we are sheltered in that love. Of course, as we remember that, we also are reminded on this day that that stability, that shelter, that confidence gives us, impels us, compels us with the opportunity, the strength, and the courage to stand for others, to speak for those who have no voice, to sit with those who are grieving, to speak truth to power, to make a better world for the next generation, and of course, to sing for those who cannot sing today. Dear ones, God is in the midst of the city. God has always been in the midst of the city. Be still then, and know that this indeed is true. I want to end with another version of Psalm 46, because I think we just need this psalm a lot today. This is the version of the psalm from the Message version from Eugene Peterson, slightly adapted for my own comfort. Hear again the words of Psalm 46. God is a safe place to hide, ready to help when we are in need. We stand fearless at the cliff edge of doom, courageous in sea storm and earthquake, before the rush and roar of oceans, the tremors that shift mountains. Jacob, wrestling God, fights for us. God of angel armies protects us. River fountains splash joy, cooling God's city, this sacred haunt of the Most High. God lives here. The streets are safe, God at your service from crack of dawn. Godless nations rant and rave, kings and kingdoms threaten, but earth does anything God says. Jacob, wrestling God, fights for us. God of angel armies protects us. Attention, all. See the marvels of God. She plants flowers and trees all over the earth, bans war from pole to pole, breaks all the weapons across her knee. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Jacob, wrestling God, fights for us. God of angel armies protects us. Amen.